Chris and Brother Gene. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're approaching, Lord, your word now, this part of the service. We ask, dear God, for your anointing. Lord, for there's nothing I can say, Lord, that would be eternally fulfilling to the people or would help them, dear God. But Lord, if you'll come and anoint your word and anoint my mouth, Lord, and give me the words to say, Lord, then it'll be a help and strength to the people. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Want to continue with our thought of in the last days. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Some of you here are going to have to face that. You're going to face people like this. Because we're in the last day. And I said last Sunday, for them to despise good people, they must know some good people. So somewhere you must know some bad people. Or are going to. Amen. You may be seated. Earnestly contending for the faith, Brother Branham says, watch those spirits, how they begin to move. It's the spirit of anything that does the work of it anyhow. The people have to be... Pardon me a minute. The people have to be in the kind of spirit to bring the latter days. The people's in the spirit of the latter days. Nations are in the spirit of the end time. They got atomic weapons, hydrogen weapons, all kinds of things, because it's the spirit of the day. The people are in the spirit of the end time. The church is moving together under the power and impact of the Holy Spirit, and the world's running out yonder and making fun and scoffing and laughing, and they're living like the devil every day. It's the spirit of the thing. God's getting ready to take his, and the devil's getting ready to take his. In Preparations 1953, Brother Branham says, may I stop here a minute? I believe people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. I believe we're at the end. You can speak to people. You could put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States and they drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes and laugh at you and everything else just the same. They're in the spirit of the last days. And God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. God can never destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. In questions and answers, he says, we've got to get in the spirit of the last days when the last days are here. You go to a dance hall, you get into the spirit of dancing, or you wouldn't dance. You go to church, you got to get in the spirit of worship before you can worship. The world's got to get in the spirit of the last days before the last days can come. We realize that we are motivated. As humans, we're motivated by things. There's something in the spirit realm that motivates us. Everybody's motivated by something, because you can't live unless there's something to live for. And there's something in the spirit realm that motivates you, and there's something in the spirit realm that pulsates within you and keeps you going, motivates you to go on. For example, there are times where we don't feel like getting up and going to work. But we do it anyway. Why? Because there's something motivating us. It may be a sense of work ethic, or it may be a bill. You know, a house payment. Something motivates us to go even when we don't feel like going. Same thing with going to church. There's times when we don't feel like going to church, and we couldn't really put our finger on it. Not that we got the flu or anything. But we'll get up and push ourselves and go anyway. Why? Because there's something in us that's motivating us to do it. So every human is motivated by something. So the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil is doing the motivating, bring people into the spirit of the last days, is what Brother Branham was saying. Because he said God's coming to get his and Satan's coming to get his. So there's two spirits motivating in this last days. Two spirits that are motivating the people to be ready and get in the spirit of the last days. But it's a different spirit that the people of the world get in than the people of the bride. Satan has many administrations in his kingdom, and so does God. There's certain things that will motivate certain people of the world and other things that will motivate others. Certain ones are motivated to go to church and hear denominational explanation of the word. And they go to church faithfully. They wouldn't hear of anything else. They're going to be there. But that is the spirit of Satan anointing them to a spirit of unison to come together. That's one administration of Satan. Another one is we got people that wouldn't go to church, don't even believe in going to church. And I'm not just talking about worldly people. You couldn't get them to go to church. That's another administration of Satan's anointing. Same thing on the other side. There's the people, the bride, are being anointed and motivated by the divine spirit of God. But then there's foolish virgins. And there's other categories within the kingdom of God. You remember us speaking about pennies and nickels and dimes and half dollars and so on. They love God and they're saved. But their motivation is different than your motivation. It's not within the same. Well, let's explain it this way. The main administration of God's administrating is the administration of the elect. And from there comes the seven spirits of God, which is the power of God and the completion that deals with the elect and the full revelation of the word. But then there's other people, to them it's only given to know portions of the power of God, portions of the word. They're motivated, but their motivations are never as high as the motivation of the elect. We can look at people and the categories of the spirit that's motivating them, and you can pretty much tell by the characteristic of the thing what spirit they're being motivated by. Some people live their lives so-so. They live a so-so Christian life. They go to church sporadically. They read the Bible sporadically. They listen to tapes sporadically. They pray sporadically. And they say they love God, and I'm not saying they don't. But their motivation is of such that it's not as high as the elect's motivation. We're motivated to go to church, not just every 3 months or lay out a church for 6 months and then show up and go 9 months straight and then lay out another 6 months. Known people like that. And they, one time an individual sent word to me, been out of church, well, I don't know how many months it was, and they sent word to me by somebody, said, tell Brother Jerry I'm not backslid. Why? If you've been out of church 6 months, I believe you're backslid. Then they come to church after being out 6 months and expect you to call on them to sing a special. Get all huffy if you don't. In the message investments, Brother Ram said, it's the spirit of the last days. Want to confess and hold your confession. I'm this, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, and still hold to that and live any way they want to. Yeah. That's the same thing with people that, there's people that claim to believe this message, but they don't live by this message. They claim to believe the word, but they don't live by the word. This brought me to the word complacency. Complacency. It's a feeling of contentment or self-satisfaction, especially when coupled with an unawareness of danger or trouble. Complacency. We've got to be careful in this last day, because that's one of the motivations of the last day is complacency. So we as a bride got to be careful. Because, friends, look, we're not exempt. We're motivated by the Spirit of God. That's true. But that doesn't mean Satan's leaving you alone. Because you're still living in this human flesh that's subject to the five senses of the flesh. And you still got your human spirit. You still got your human memory. You still got your imagination, all these things. And the devil ain't going to leave you alone because he has access to it. The only thing he doesn't have access to is your soul. So we've got to be careful that we don't get caught within these things. It's just part of what we're going to combat in this last day. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Verse 3 says, and as he sat upon Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. We said last Sunday, notice when he speaks of it, that's the first thing he says. When he speaks of this last day. Take care that no man deceive you. What does that tell you? There's going to be plenty of deceivers out there. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed. Now, you wouldn't think that around the message, that we would have a problem with women preachers. After all the prophet taught on it, and how much that he showed in the scriptures, and how much that we see Paul taught against it, you wouldn't think we'd have any. But they don't necessarily call themselves preachers, never said they would. But they take on a spirit an anointing, where whatever is their central of belief, they gotta have a quote and some quotes and different things to come and straighten you out if you preach something they don't quite agree with. Or maybe they ain't bold enough to come to the pastor and straighten him out. Some are. I've been there. But if they're not bold enough, they'll sit there and you can see the look right all over their face. Now, we don't have any trouble like that here anymore. That dominating female spirit and me just don't get along. And, you know, the strange thing is there's been, I've had people that have come here at one time or another say that they don't know how my wife could live with me. They figure I'm overbearing. I'm, you know, rule with an iron fist or something. Boy, my home's anything but like that. My wife ain't afraid of me.
No.
I'm afraid of her. No, I'm just kidding you there. But I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it ain't going to be my wife running the home. We make decisions together. I'll make a decision to go shop for a car without her, but I can't sign papers without her. I got to get her on board before we can get papers signed. But we make decisions together. And I believe that's the way it should be. She's the queen of the home and should be treated that way. I know many of you have seen women be treated any other way but that, be treated like doormats, be treated like lesser than human. And that's wrong. That's wrong. I don't believe she should be waiting on you hand and foot. I believe you got two hands and two feet and you can do some stuff yourself. I still like her to make my plate, though. She knows what I like to eat. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. God identified by his characteristics, Brother Branham says. I might drop a little something here. Jesus said in Matthew 24th chapter, in the last days the two spirits would come so close together till it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Now, that's just like looking at a right hand and a left hand. They both got thumbs, fingers, nails, small fingers, middle fingers, so forth, index, all different fingers. They both have thumbprints. Only one's just turned one way and the other's turned the other way. Both the same print, made the same way. Thumbprints, everything's identical alike. The only difference is the characteristic of it. One is a left hand and one is a right hand. That's the only difference. And that's the way the Spirit will be in the last days. Just the characteristic of it will detect whether it is of God or not. One of them will be right and the other will be wrong. You only know it by the characteristic of God, just perfectly. It'll have to be that way, but right hand we'd say is right and left hand we'd say was wrong, or vice versa. One of them, they're determined by their characteristics. I wanted to read this quote because it just put it as simple as I've ever heard it. How close it would be. The only difference is a characteristic of it. Brother Branham gives another example of it. He says, the time is coming now is when God, being a spirit, will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Now, some people have the spirit and no truth. Others have the truth and no spirit. He said, it's just like having two big Cadillacs. They both look alike. You put both of them up to the tanks and fill them up with gasoline. You crank and crank and crank on one, and well, you look out and you say, well, the seat's all right. The steering wheel's pretty. It's got diamond studs in it and plush and sets pretty. And you set and go to sleep. And oh, a lot of things you could do, each one, but one of them, all of them has to have the right mechanics, but one of them has the dynamics. You see, you might know the mechanics, but it takes the dynamics to start the mechanics to make them work. So having the spirit and no truth, that ain't going to get it. But neither is having the truth and no spirit. Now, I don't, around the message, places I've traveled, different churches I've been into, the people either have the spirit or they don't. I haven't been in any that that necessarily don't have the truth. That don't mean there's some ain't some out there. There's some you know, camps I wouldn't get invited to because of the doctrines they preach and whatever, and you got to preach their doctrine or you wouldn't be invited. And then you've got groups where they don't believe in preachers anyhow. But you got to have the spirit with the truth. No matter how much truth you got, if you don't have the spirit of God there, it ain't doing you no good. And you're not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I've seen people take the church order tape, and I've seen them organize the Holy Spirit right out of the assembly. And I don't believe in that. Somebody told me one time they went to a place and their wife started clapping her hands. He looked and said, "Don't you know where you are? Why are you clapping your hands? You're the only one in here clapping." He said, "That's the way the spirits are in the last days." This isn't God identifying himself. They're somewhat alike, but they have a characteristic that identifies them. Now, back in Matthew 24, verse 6, it says, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of those things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, we've heard of wars and rumors of wars. We've been through wars. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines." Now, Brother Branham says this, I want to say this, I believe the Bible in the last days, there'll come a famine in the land, and the famine won't be for bread or water, but for hearing of the true word of God. And people will run from east to west and from north to south seeking to hear the word of God. The testimony of a true witness, he says, his word testifies in the last days there'd come a falling away, and there'll come a cold, formal, powerless church. And that's what we're living in, a church that had no power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Again, and why people are so tossed about, he says, the Bible said in the last days there'll come a famine upon the earth, not for bread or water alone, but for the hearing of the word, and the people will go from east to west and everywhere trying to find it. The hour's here when men are putting themselves up like gods and wanting to be glorified. Now, I wondered to what degree that was going on then compared to what degree it goes on today. I know I've mentioned this from the pulpit before, but this is just one thing that just I cannot get over. Man that was going to a certain church said that, you know, everybody, his preacher was the only one, everybody had to listen to his preacher. And he made this statement, said, "If Brother Branham was alive, he'd have to sit here and hear my pastor." And I tell you what, if that ain't blasphemy, I don't know. That's... Mm. But that, anyway, that's the way God looks at it. In their eyes, they're trying to make themselves God. They're anointed with the same spirit that Lucifer was anointed with. I'll just put it out there plain. Paul said, I have fear that except you would try to worship me instead of the thing I'm preaching. We don't need to be worshiping the prophet. We're to worship God. That's what he came here to point us to. We're not to worship any man. I don't want y'all worshiping me. I'll tell you what, I've seen it where in a church where, I tell you what, they had such a holy reverence of their pastor, and they thought so much of him, they believed, one said, man in there said, well, you know, Brother Branham said there'd be an Elisha after Elijah came. He said, I believe my pastor's Elisha. Well, Brother Branham clearly said that Elisha, that double anointing was what was going to fall on the bride. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence. Pestilence. According to a group called UNAIDS, 2016 estimates, 25.6 million people were affected with AIDS in Africa alone. 0.8% of adults age 15 to 49 worldwide are living with AIDS. Sub-Saharan Africa, one in every 25 adults are affected, and that counts for 70% of the worldwide figure. 36.7 million people in the world have AIDS today. 1.5 million died from AIDS in 2015. 1.8 million children died under the age of 15. Or affected, I mean. Now, is anyone crying for these losses that I've read up here? No, you're not. Why? Because we're in the spirit of the last days. We are becoming desensitized to violence and death. It's in the world. It's a spirit of destruction. And it'll even try to move on us to where loss of human life doesn't mean so much. If it affects elect people like that, can you imagine the effect on the worldly people? Most of you will not go home, and after I've said this, most of you won't go home and pray for the orphans of AIDS victims. Most of you, you won't. But you're Christians, and you love God. But see what it is? It's a spirit of destruction. It's on the earth. And of course, I believe that AIDS is one of the end time plagues, one of the end time pestilence. 2.1 million new AIDS infections reported in 2016. 150,000 were children under the age of 15. A large number of them live in Africa. Listen to this. The bubonic plague estimated killed 30 million people in the medieval Europe. 1.1 million alone died in the year 2015 from AIDS. What I'm telling you is AIDS is worse than the bubonic plague. It's killed more people. Sometime back in our lives, we might have wondered at some of these things. But now we see it's in the end time. Like I said, many of us, I'm sure, believe this is just one of the end time plagues that's on the people. They say all these different things that it comes from and so on. But it's an end time plague. And you know, I had a figure back there and I forgot to put it down here on my notes. But there was a figure of how many children, I can't remember exactly now how many children they said was orphaned or had a parent or both parents die from AIDS in Africa. Millions and millions of people have died because of sex-related things, diseases. You know, look, you don't, they say many different ways that this, you contact this, but you don't get it from eating a bologna sandwich, I'm going to tell you. Let me read this to you. During the years of global HIV epidemic, an estimated 7 million children lost one or, I did write it down. I'm sorry, I thought I didn't. I did get it. During 30 years of the global HIV epidemic, they're saying that from the start of this, it started 30 years ago. 17 million children lost one or both parents due to AIDS. 90% of those children lived in sub-Saharan Africa. So 90% of the orphans out there are in Africa. In addition, 3.4 million children under the age of 15 are living with HIV. This is a multiplication of the Spirit in the last days. It works just like the multiplication of God's Word. Opening the seals, out of there come, Brother Bram said, a rocket like a Roman candle. Then you've got Satan by sexual pollution, germs crossing. He's introduced something that men have never dealt with before. Kills millions of people, leaves orphans, rebels, and second generation anointed with the spirit of destruction. The UN said that AIDS is now a bigger killer than any other infectious disease today in history. An estimated 1 million Africans died last year, or died in 2014 was the thing. And there's an increasing problem of children and orphans by AIDS that are unable to fend for themselves. Now, here's a paradigm. I want to read to you some things that Brother Branham said back in the 60s. He said, now, and if she's married, before she can be married, she has to be tested, her virginity. If she be found guilty, they tell the man that done it, and they both killed together. And he's talking about in Africa. And he said, what if they done that in Hollywood or Los Angeles or over in the United States today? There'd be a lot of killing done. He said, there's no nightlife in Africa like that. They live higher, cleaner morally than we do that calls ourselves Christians. Yes, sir. If a girl's found guilty, if a woman's found guilty of running or dishonorable to her husband, she's killed right there, and the man that lives with her. There's no immoral among them. I never, in all the discernments of cases, never found one case of venereal disease among them. This is 1961. What a paradigm. Because Brother Branham related the lack of sexually transmitted diseases to a higher spiritual order in Africa. But it ain't that way today. Today they lead the nations of the world. He says, I know heathens down in Africa among my dark brethren down there. I find the morals of them people higher than 90% of the American people. They can come teach people that call themselves church members how to live clean. Never found one case of venereal in the whole trip through South Africa. They don't have such a thing. There you are. So it's your own dirty, filthy ways as white people. That's right. Got away from God. Like I said, it's not that way today. Now it's growing to where this disease of AIDS, Africa leads the world in it. What's happened? There's been a decline in their morals. They have adapted more and more of the Western ways. Countries becoming more and more Americanized. That's the truth. Why do you think these countries, and I'm not saying I agree with how they do things, but some of these Muslim countries where their women are starting to stand up and they want rights like the American women have? Because they see what America has. Some of them, by the time they get here, they don't want to stay with their husband no more because they see how America is and it's a lot better to them. One time Paris led the world in corruption. I believe the United States and Hollywood does now. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. If that's the beginning of sorrows, what is the end of sorrows? Because God has a beginning to these things, and there's going to be an end to them. But God's timed these things right out to where there's a beginning, the war era, famine era, plague era, earthquake era. But in the last days, the accumulation of these things will be so rapid. And then the sixth seal will open. And Moses and Elijah will step out on the scene. They'll have power over the earth and the elements, which will bring about the coinciding of man's atomic explosion, and it'll set the earth back on its axis. You know, that would sound, if somebody that didn't know anything about what we believe, what we're preaching, coming here and sitting here today, they would say, boy, this is doom and gloom. But it ain't that way to the bride. Look, I feel for all them that's dying. I don't want to be desensitized really to that. But I look at all these things that's happening, and then I look at what's happening within the bride. We're getting less comfortable being here. And we're starting to get to where we're thinking more of the other side than we think of this side. Looking forward to the resurrection. Looking forward to the coming of the Lord in a way that is even far greater, I believe, than it's ever been. Why? Because things of the world are getting worse. Our worldly nest is getting pretty prickly. It's about time to take our flight out of here. Brother Branham says, we see a roar in the paper, across television, out across the nations, where five stars fell in line. This was 1962. What's five? A number of grace. Every time those stars come in, something happens on earth. What taking place? Five stars fell in. What was it? An introducing of what? Since then, it looked like what's taking place. Germany almost washed off the map. Some of the Magi say that the world would burst like a watermelon. Every distressful thing prophesied for them for the last days. Look what's taking place. England the other day had a storm that blowed about 70,000 houses in one day. Disasters everywhere. California, Los Angeles, like to wash into the ocean. What is it? The beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. The earth is having its birth pains. That's a joyful time for the bride. Because the Bible says that, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, waiting for what? The redemption, to wit, the body change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. That's why it's joyous to the bride that the world is going through its birth pains. In the message, birth pains, Brother Branham says, now, if we're to have a new earth, the old earth and the new earth cannot exist at the same time. The new world and the old world can't exist at the same time. There can't be two world orders together at the same time. Now, in order to get the new earth, the old one has to die. And now if the old one has to die, then it's giving birth pains for a new one now. The end time sign, he said, what is it? The beginning of sorrows. Earthquakes has picked up everywhere. Why is it? Five stars come in line. Grace, God's grace. What's happened? An infant church, hallelujah. A bride, infancy, that the power of God has begun to fall on her. She's taking form. A bride for this bridegroom, that three stars meant his perfection of the Heavenly Father and truly becoming one on earth among us. God's offices becoming one office. What happened? It's the church of the living God coming together under the word of God, and the astronomic heaven is announcing her approach. Now here's in 62, he's talking about the infant church in 62. That would mean that, and he was talking about the five stars came together. When Christ was born, there was three stars that come together. Three stars come together, and there was, took 30 years to get the body part ready for the ministry that it was ordained for. It's been over 50 years. Matter of fact, from this time when he preached and said that, talking about the birth and the infancy here in 1962, that'd make it 54 years ago. I believe we're getting close, friends. Matthew 24:8 again, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. What's there to be after the beginning of sorrows? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended. Offended. Cause people to begin to distrust or desert one another. Cause them to fall away, be offended in one. There is a spirit of offense. People today are become offended. Some people so easily. And you know, there's been people that's left this church because they were offended in something. But you know, when they leave, they never say, well, he preached on me and said something, pointed out something I was doing that I don't want to quit, and it offended me. They don't say that. No, they got to find some kind of excuse. And that excuse usually will have a name pinned to it. And they'll either say something about the pastor or something about the church entire. To have some excuse for why. When the real reason was, they didn't want to quit doing what they was doing. Or didn't, I'll tell you this. If a person has a spirit on them, and that spirit gets exposed, and they don't want to give that spirit up, they're not going to stay here, because the spirit won't stay where it was exposed. Now, if it gets exposed and they want free from it, they'll get free from it. Some people go from church to church and they leave behind a choice. Some people swap churches more than other people swap husbands and wives. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many shall be offended. Look, friends, this isn't talking about people of the world. Jesus gave the parable of the seeds sowed among the stony ground and so forth, and he said, and they grew up and they become offended and left. You remember that? Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. False. One acting the part of divinely inspired prophet utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecies. False prophets shall rise. Look, there's false prophets that's already arose. Maybe I don't know whether you've come in contact with them in your walk or not, but they're there. Proclaim themselves to be something and that they're really not. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes among thorns or figs among thistles? Their fruit of these false prophets is their teaching. The fruit of the heart, or the fruit is the life. But the fruit of these false prophets is their teaching. Praise God, I'm a Christian. I believe every word Brother Branham said. Praise God, if Brother Branham spoke it, I believe it. And don't believe in going to church. Don't have a home church. And won't support any church. In 1964, Brother Branham said when he got people saved, he always sent them to a home church. Mark 13:22, it says, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. To seduce, if possible, even the elect, showing how close it's going to be. And you only know it by its characteristics. John, 1 John 4 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Test them. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God doesn't mind being tested. It only minds being disbelieved. But God don't mind you testing his spirit to see if it's his spirit on an individual. Now, you don't test it by some kind of feeling. Well, I don't know, I just kind of felt something. Yeah, you're mad, it could be your imagination. That ain't how you test something. Well, my spirit seemed like just agreed with them. I'll tell you what, we've had our spirit agree with people that we wish we'd have never even met now. You try the spirits by the word. That's why I said the fruit of them is their teaching. Try them by the word. We're living in the last days. Now, scripture we open with in 2 Timothy 3, spirit of the last days is falling on this age and trying to anoint our lives as well. Remember, Brother Branham said Paul wasn't speaking to infidels, he was speaking to church people. It ain't out there just in those denominations. Many of the things we've seen in the ranks of the message. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, lovers of their own selves, and shall hate one another. You say, how could that be? Because the only place, Brother Ram said, it's coming down to the only place where there'll be love will be just in the bride. Children today have to battle the spirit and anointing of this last days, because he said they should be disobedient to parents. So children, they'll have to battle the anointing of that spirit. And sometimes they'll come home from school and it'll just bring everything seeming like out of cater and upset you and everything else. And then you realize somehow they got anointed while they were at school. Through media or through music or through their peers, because their peers that are anointed by the spirit of the last day, and it just, they get around them and that's the way they act, you know, and it's human nature that we like to fit in and not be different. But we are different. Some years ago, I'd read where a 9-year-old boy stabbed his 7-year-old sister because he was angry with her. There was a 11-year-old boy some years ago killed his grandmother because she told him he could not ride his bike. Now, the spirit of destruction of these last days could anoint a 9-year-old or an 11-year-old. Then I wouldn't question if they came to us here in the church and said, I want to be baptized. You understand what I'm trying to say? If the spirit of the last day could anoint and affect a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, then the spirit of God can anoint and affect a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. Spirit of the last days seems is catching them much younger than what it seemed like it caught maybe some of us older ones. Much younger are they being affected by these things. They're being affected by an anointing of sexual things in grade school. I look back on my grade school days, man, they were just pure innocent. An early example of the anointing on the youth is Hitler's youth. They were under an anointing. Why? Because they had been brainwashed by Hitler and his teachings. And they were loyal to the fatherland. They were loyal to Hitler. much more so than those that were of older age or of age when Hitler came to power. The youth that he brought on after he came to power were much more loyal. Why? Because they'd been brainwashed. That's what the spirit of this world in the end times trying to do to young people, brainwash them. Satan's doing the same thing to the youth today. But you know what? It thrills me to see young people with the desire to go to church. And I see young people in church raise their hands, worship God, sing, clap their hands. That's wonderful, because they're under an anointing in this last day also. And it's God's youth. Amen. And they're anointed with the Spirit of God. Amen. You can stand as Brother Nate prayers to come. Sorry it took me just a little bit longer today than what it's been taking me, but still not too long, I guess. Amen. Knowing we're at the end time ought to be good news to the bride. Amen.
Think about his love. Treasure.